Hi all, and welcome to the All Things Woo podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Ray. This is a place for spiritual beings as well as those that are spiritually curious to come together and share their experiences, talents, and beliefs. If you've ever been drawn to ghosts, aliens, crystals, mediums, psychics, or maybe you're just somebody that's outgrown the dogma of religion, then this is the place for you. I like to think of it as a place for all things woo. I myself am a lifelong spiritualist, a spiritual health and wellness life coach. I've been reading tarot for the past 14 years, and I also facilitate one-on-one breathwork sessions. I'm here to share my own experiences and bring my own take on spirituality, but I'll also be inviting other coaches, spiritualists, and experts on here to share info with you guys. And if you have a story that you want to share, then I want to give you the platform. So please reach out to me, and I would love to see if you can be on the show. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Long time no episode. So I am finally back. I took an unplanned hiatus, as you can tell, since October. And the reason for that is because, well, A, we have a lot going on. Between Halloween and then I had family coming into town in November. And then, of course, the holidays in November and my daughter's fourth birthday party, which we had people coming in for, and work was crazy. I have been in the middle of getting ready to launch my 8-week women's program. Just so many things were going on. Close to Samhain, the energy in my house was insane. My daughter was channeling pretty much nonstop. My dreams were insane. We had a bunch of new spirits floating through our house, just all kinds of things. I have had so many gifts that have been online, but didn't really, I don't want to say peak because I don't know that I'm at a peak right now, but really come to fruition recently. And I just, I did not know what to do with everything that was going on. I needed a break. So I am so sorry for the delay. Also, the other reason that I was gone is because I felt like I wasn't always showing up authentically with you guys in the sense of like all of my stories and the content and the coaches that I have interviewed and all of that. That was all authentic. That was all me. But post-recording, I have spent a lot of time editing. I have tried to figure out how to make like videos with sound trailers. I have tried to adapt different models that I have seen other people using. And I had a lot of self-placed expectations. What I mean by that is I have a lot of connections in the coaching world now, which I am forever grateful for. And I was really hardcore playing the comparison game. I was like, oh, I see this coach with an amazing podcast that makes their own videos and their trailers and a website. And some of them get funding and this, that, and the third of how everybody else was showing up. And I felt like I have to do that if I want my podcast to be seen or if I want people to connect with me on here. And that's just not true. It's straight up not true. I've actually grown this podcast more in my absence than I did when I was trying to post new episodes every single week and promoting it on my Instagram page. And I just kind of let it sit for a little bit. I sat in that place of surrender of like, if people want to listen to it, they're going to listen to it. And if they don't, then they don't. And it actually grew exponentially without me doing anything. So I am doing away with those expectations. I really hate the editing process, you guys. I absolutely loathe it. I stopped recording episodes because the idea of editing said episodes was terrible. I was editing out every time I say or like, because when you play it back, it really doesn't sound that great. I don't like listening to my voice played back either way, so it didn't improve that. I already explained the listener situation. It didn't improve that. I get it, for you guys to have a smooth listening experience, but it was taking all of the fun away. I wasn't getting any joy or any satisfaction out of making episodes, and this whole podcast started as a passion project. I did it because I wanted to, because I thought it would be so much fun to connect with you guys. And then I put all these expectations on it and it was no longer fun. So I recently took a step back. I took some time off and I'm not going to be editing these. And if I am, I'm not going to be editing them heavy. I've noticed I get really strong bursts of inspiration when I am driving and don't have a toddler sitting right next to me. And just different things like that. And I never record them because I don't want you guys to hear a car in the background. Right now, my phone is going off on the table next to me. You might hear it vibrating in the background. I ordered a microphone and it doesn't work with the updated version of my Mac. I just, all different things that I felt like were diminishing this podcast and making it like not listenable, approachable, desirable. I don't know. Basically, I thought you guys wouldn't want to listen to it. And normally I would edit that whole section out and I just don't want to anymore. I have released that expectation of myself and of the show, and I've decided that you guys get what you get. And if you like it, then cool, then great. And if you don't like it, then it wasn't for you. So I'm going to continue to keep interviewing the coaches that I love. I'm going to continue talking about things that I want to talk about. And I'm going to continue connecting with you guys that want to connect over it. Cool. Great. I think that's all the housekeeping. If you guys are interested in working with me, I am super excited to announce that I have officially launched my 8-week women's program. You can join in a women's group or you can join individually. There is a Facebook page. So even though you will be getting 8 one-on-one coaching sessions with me, you also have the option to opt into a Facebook group community of women that are going through the same program for their own individual needs. But if you guys ever want to connect about anything, if you want to share anything, just have people on a similar journey to you, then that option is available to you. Like I said, it is 8 weeks. You get 8 one-on-one sessions. You get an hour-long tarot reading at the beginning of your enrollment, your journey to see what energy you're sitting in. You get an hour-long tarot reading when you leave. You get weekly exercises, curated journal prompts, all the goods. Another thing about me as a coach is I know that there are a lot of people that prefer like pay in full or pay upon service and don't accept payment plans for whatever reason they might have. I am down for the payment plans, you guys. If you need to pay a little here and a little there, then that's absolutely fine. When I first broke into this area and started getting my own coaches, I couldn't afford a couple thousand dollars in coaching, or I couldn't afford a big deposit, or I couldn't afford to do it every single week. So I get it. I've been there. I've done that. I've been in that space, and I am forever grateful for the coaches that gave me an opportunity to work with them anyway. So I want to extend that to you. If you are interested, you can email me at taylorraytalks@gmail.com, or you can connect with me on Instagram, which is @taylorraytalks_. You guys should connect with me there anyway, just because I want to hear your thoughts. So I believe that is it. Let's get into it. Let's see. I absolutely just took a drink of my water on video, you guys, and I'm not going to edit it out. Maha! That feels great. So I left off in October, and the spirit was to be in like the spooky season vibes and update you guys about the past year. The last episode I did was about my boyfriend in high school that we believe was possessed. And actually, ironically enough, after I recorded that episode, he reached out to me like 2 weeks later and did the whole, hey, how are you? Let's catch up kind of deal. And he was like, yo, do you remember that crazy ass time we had in high school with everything that happened? And I was like, I do remember that. And he was like, yeah, I still to this day have no idea what it was. Like, I'm thankful to be alive. That was insane. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that answers my question, guys. I don't think he was faking it. Could be wrong, but I don't think he was. So I thought that timing was ironic. There's an update for you guys that I did not think you would have. I had planned after that episode to tell you guys all about when I lived in a haunted house. So this to this day, it was just about a year ago, and to this day, I am still just like, I totally think this house was haunted. So again, I'm not going to argue with anybody about the existence of like the paranormal, of demons, of witches, of ghosts, of any of that stuff. I am a terrible pagan and a terrible Christian, A, because I say that I am both, and that goes against Christianity in itself. But if you know me, you know that my dad's side of the family was pagan. My mom's side of the family was and remains to be very Christian. So I have conflicting beliefs. Like, pagans do not believe in a heaven or a hell, and Christians obviously do. The whole topic of demons gets really conflicting, just things like that. So I'm not debating theology or demonology with anybody. Let me just tell you what happened. If you've been following me and you know my story, then you know that when I left my abusive piece of shit ex, ooh, that feels good to say and not edit out. So y'all know when I left my ex, I moved back in with my family. I was having a really rough time. I had debt. I had all kinds of things that I had to overcome. In the middle of doing that, once I paid off my debts and got a new car and did all of that, I wanted to take the jump and come to Arizona. I came out here to visit my aunt. And in my 4-day visit, I landed a teaching job, a part-time job. And I was like, that is also awesome. However, I do not have a place to live. So my aunt had said, you know, you and Kara can come and live with me while you are looking for a place to live. And in a couple of months or whatever, however long it takes, you can go out and about on your own. So her friends knew that I was looking for a place, and I got so lucky because one of her friends does the listings in this city. She came to me and she said, hey, just so you know, I haven't gotten this place cleaned or anything. It's not officially on the market, nothing like that. Do you want to come and see it before we list it? Because it's going to be really affordable and I think it's going to go quickly. So we go, right? And you guys are going to hear the story and be like, Taylor, that wasn't a red flag. No, at the time it seemed normal. So just know that retrospectively, I also am like, wow, you really did that to yourself. I felt like that white woman in every horror movie that's like, oh my God, somebody died here. That's fine. Look at this like clawfoot tub and vintage artwork. Nobody died in this house that we know of. But long story short, we go to see this house and she's telling me it hasn't been cleaned yet. And we walk in and I'm like, wow, this house has very obviously not been cleaned. And I think that I was just so taken aback by the mess of it all that I wasn't looking closely at the actual house. I was like, great, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath with a ginormous yard. It was on a corner lot and it had a huge backyard and a 2-car garage and a front yard and all the goods. So I was like, wow, this is great. She's like, yeah, it is. We haven't had the carpets cleaned. We haven't had this. Well, there was black all over the carpets. And she's like, I don't know if they had dogs or anything. And that, like, it didn't smell like there had been pets in the house. So I was like, oh, okay. But there were mysterious black spots on tile and on the flooring. And I was like, what were these people doing? Now, there was also a ton of writing all over the walls. It looked like it was mostly in crayon. So I had assumed that the people that lived in the house before us had kids and maybe they were just a wild bunch of kids. I have a toddler too. Stuff happens. I was expecting it to be, you know, you can scrub it away with a Mr. Clean magic eraser, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it's not terrible. The black stains on the carpets really like were grossing me out, things like that. She was like, it's getting new carpet. It's getting all new paint. I was like, okay, well, that's a lot better. We go into the backyard and I guess that the previous owners, renters, I don't know, whatever they were, had let the weeds grow over the fences, over the walls, over the trees. So it was this like barren backyard made of rock. Arizona is primarily all rock. The trees looked like something out of a cemetery in the middle of winter. They were all dead or completely overgrown to the point where they were dragging on the ground. And I was like, well, what is going on with all of this? Like, it was run down. But the foundation of the house seemed to be really good. Like I said, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. It had everything we needed. The rent was super cheap. It had storage and it was just my daughter and I. So I was like, you know what? I think we're going to take it anyway. I promise this becomes relevant. Well, after I get into the house, my mom in Texas, who I told you, maybe I didn't tell you in that episode, but my mom was basically following us out here because I took her only grandbaby. So my mom was like, I think I'm going to come out there in a couple of months, but I'm probably going to want to custom build my house. I'm going to stay with you for a year. And I was like, ew. leave my mom's house, to have my mom move back in. Like, I felt like I was just getting back out on my own. And then my mom wanted to come and stay, but it's family. What are you going to say? So I was like, okay, great. And she was like, hey, since you just sold all of your bedroom furniture in that big, you know, terrible breakup, she was like, I'm going to take the master. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why do you get the master bedroom? And she was like, because I have master bedroom furniture. And at the moment in time, you do not. And I was like, wow, all right, kick me while I'm down, but you're right. So I left the master bedroom and everything untouched because I didn't want to move furniture into it to move it out, to then move it back into it when my mom got a home, right? So my mom did come down here. She stayed with me for, I think it was only like 3 months max before she actually found a home that was done and everything to her liking. But during that 3 month time frame that my mom was staying with us, I was staying in this front room. It's a normal size room, like it would be an office or a kid bedroom. And I was staying there, and I always felt uneasy. Like, I always felt like I was being watched. I felt like there was something in there with me. I felt like the middle of the night, something was always hanging over me. And I convinced myself that I was feeling this way because my daughter and I were on one half of the house, and then there was a whole another bedroom and stuff at the end of the hallway that wasn't occupied. You know, it just gives you like a weird feeling to not use rooms in your house. I don't know. I just convinced myself it was because of that. It was a new neighborhood, a new house. Bear and I were out on our own for really the first time since I had had her. And I was like, well, this is just an adjustment for everybody involved. We weren't staying with my mom. I wasn't staying with her father. I wasn't staying with my aunt. I chalked it up to nerves. Like, what if something happened to us while it's just the two of us? So my mom does move in with us. And even then, even with my mother in the house and her dogs came to stay. And my cat, like none of the animals seemed to want to come into my bedroom. And they would always stop at the door or they would lay in the hallway and growl in the direction of my room. And I was like, that's so strange. I wonder what's happening with that. Well, not too long after that, I started having these dreams of a woman in my bedroom. And this woman was like a really tall, shallow-faced, pale-looking lady with like long black hair, right? It sounds like every horror movie you've ever seen. So I thought, wow, what a cliche thing for me to create in my head. I'm having strange nightmares. That is so weird. I wonder what's going on. Really didn't think anything of it. It wasn't like every single night. It was just once in a while. And then some nights the like intense feeling of being watched and having somebody around would just get to me and I would fall asleep with the TV on, which I sleep in absolute silence, absolute darkness. I do not like distractions. I'm a very light sleeper. I normally can't do any of that. And that was the only thing that was helping, even remotely. Then I started sleeping with my bedroom door open. My mom was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, well, it's so I can hear Kara, who was right next to me. And she's like, is she like no longer sleeping through the night? Why are you doing that? And I was like, oh, no, she's fine. I don't know, just in case. And she's like, okay, that seems really strange. Well, my mom moves out. Everything is great. I get my master bedroom furniture and now I'm sleeping on the other side of the house and that empty room becomes Kara's playroom. So I'm sleeping fine. I'm sleeping way better in the master bedroom. I'm having a great time and I'm like, oh, it's because I got this brand new furniture and this brand new mattress and it's just more comfortable than this full-size bed that I had from college, which, I mean, that's all true, but that's what I was attributing it to. And I was like, oh, and that weird uneasy feeling is gone. Everything is great. And, well, you know, a couple weeks, a couple months go by. I would still occasionally get weird feelings. My cat still would not go into that bedroom. But nothing strange is happening. Well, my now boyfriend and I get serious. And he is staying at my house pretty much all of the time. And I start getting this huge kick up feeling again. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell him that only a couple months into our relationship that my house scares me because how weird would that be? I just wasn't at that point. So he's staying with us pretty much all the time. He hadn't officially moved in yet, but he might as well have, if you guys understand that weird like space in a new relationship. So he'd been staying there for a couple of months, and just right then officially decided, hey, I'm gonna move in, we're gonna split rent, all of this stuff, had the big talk about money and responsibilities and do 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 do. Well, it starts getting so bad that in the middle of the night I can't sleep, and I'm like, I have to sleep with the TV on. He's like, you don't sleep like that. I'm like, I have to. I'm having dreams of that black-haired woman walking down the hallway towards our bedroom. I'm getting chills telling you guys this because I was terrified. I start having a dream of somebody calling me through a mirror, which I think we should have an entire episode on the spirituality of mirrors, good and bad. I think there's so much to unpack. There's so much lore and some weird ass stories out there as well. So I think it's coming from this mirror, and I'm like, no. Now, my boyfriend knew that I was spiritual, but I don't think he quite understood. And I finally was like, I'm covering this mirror. And he was like, what are you talking about? You're covering this mirror. So my bedroom furniture has the dresser with the mirror that comes on the top of it. And I also had, like, you know, one of those body mirrors from like Walmart or Target that you just hang on the back of a door or something like that. And I was like, yes, I am covering this extra mirror, the small one from like Walmart. And he's like, okay, why? And I'm like, I'm having these really like intense dreams and nightmares of somebody coming out of the mirror. And he's like, okay, are you insane? And I was like, I don't know, it's just like humor me. And so I covered the mirror one night, and he was like, did you sleep any better? And I'm like, I slept okay, actually, it helped. And he's like, I mean, okay, if that's what helps you sleep at night, whatever. Some more time passes, and it's right around in like October, November, that in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. my daughter wakes up. She's awake. And I'm like, weeks of this, you guys. I'm talking like a month and a half. Like, my boyfriend and I were like, what are we gonna do? Because we are not sleeping at night, because every single night at 3 a.m. Kara is up screaming. And her language hadn't really blossomed yet. So she could talk a little bit, but not a lot. She would say things like scared, I don't like it. I mean, you know, just couldn't really describe. And I was like, this seems so strange for her to have night terrors so early. Now, for the sake of time in this episode, I'm not going to go into every single thing that we looked at, but I'm talking diet, melatonin. Does she have night terrors? Because they thought that I was having night terrors as a kid. Turns out I was not having night terrors. I was seeing dead people. I was seeing spirits, as my grandmother did before me, as my siblings do sometimes, as I'm pretty sure my mother does. But remember, that is something that we do not acknowledge. So it's also the other side of the family. I think my mom knew, let me rephrase that. I think that my mom knew that I was sensitive and that those things were happening, and she was hoping that by not acknowledging it, it was going to go away. And I don't think she actually has like a medium shift or a clairvoyant, a medium ship or clairsense, but I definitely think that as my mom, she knew that I did. And it was one of the things that caused her and my dad to get divorced when I was a kid. So with all of that in mind, understand that I looked at very logical medical reasons for my child to not be sleeping. I also have various degrees in child development. That's what I got my master's in. I know how these developmental stages work. So, yes, I did think about all that. I did consider all that. We tried everything. I took a couple of months to go through all of the options. Well, then I had to start considering that it was not that maybe she was seeing somebody or something at night, which is something that I just recently have really stepped into. So to have a child doing it, I didn't know how to help her through that. Well, as kiddos so often do, she had this huge language burst, and all of a sudden was able, you know, they just kind of start talking one day. And she was able to tell me, there's a lady in that room pointing to the playroom across the hall, which was my room, my old room, I should say. And she's like, there's a lady in that room. She doesn't want me there. She wants me out. She hates me. She screams at me. And I'm like, she screams at you? And she's like, she comes in at night and she screams at me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm telling you, this went on for months. So after about 3 months of this, her language has again grown, and she's able to tell me there's a lady with long dark hair. She comes into my room at night. She screams in my face until I wake up. She wants me to leave. And I'm like, okay, that's enough for me. Like, I'm over this house. My boyfriend's like, we're not just going to pick up and move because Kara's having nightmares. Like, let's sink this room. I'm like, okay, you're right. That's probably the better thing to do. Well, at every single night at 3 a.m., I start hearing banging on our bedroom door. And enough so that it's waking me up every night. And of course, I always considered the option of, like, that was part of my nightmare and it just now woke me up. Right. And I would lay awake waiting to see if I heard it. And some nights I did. And he sleeps like the dead. There's nothing that you can do to wake him up anyway. So I was like, okay, obviously he's not hearing it. What am I going to do? And then I kid you not, guys, one night I heard voices coming out of that mirror. And I was like, well, I don't understand what's happening. Like, this mirror, I got it for like $5 at, I think, Walmart, maybe Target, whatever. Nothing special about it. I flip it over one day, and on the back of this mirror, there's just black mold, like, growing through the middle of the mirror on, like, the paper backing. Which, how would it have even gotten wet? How would it have not, like, gotten onto my floor? Like, I couldn't blame the toddler. How would she get something on the back of the mirror? I surely would have noticed in months and months if I had spilled something on it in the car. Or, you know what I mean? There was no explanation. So I was like, oh, hell no. Saging this and throwing it away. So I did. And my boyfriend was like, you're just throwing the mirror away because there's stuff on the back. And I was like, how did it get there? And he's like, I don't know, but you did that at some point and it's an accident. And I was like, nope, I'm throwing it away. So I start sleeping better for a few nights and so does Bear. And I'm like, oh, the mirror was cursed. And he's like, okay, this $5 mirror from Walmart was cursed. Seems like pretty shitty luck, but okay. If that helps you sleep at night. I'm like, yeah, it totally does. Well, around the holidays, we had family coming to stay with us, you know, friends that would come and crash and different things. And nobody said anything, right? But they would often be like, oh, we slept in the living room, or I don't know, I don't want to sleep in that guest room. I'm going to sleep on the couch. And I'd be like, okay, nothing of it at the time. Come to find out later on, a bunch of our friends and like his younger brother, my younger brother, all were like, something about that room gave me weird vibes. I'm like, oh, it did. I even had a friend that was like, I don't know. I kept having this dream of a lady coming down the hallway. And I was like, oh, okay. And his younger brother finally was like, I always felt like somebody was watching me from that hallway. I never wanted to sleep at your house. It terrified me. And keep in mind, nobody's ever sharing any of this. So this comes after, but I retrospectively look on that and I'm like, so everybody was feeling some kind of way and nobody told me. Fake, but we're going through this motion. I've gotten rid of the mirror. Everything is going great, and then it's not. And now the nightmares are full-fledged. Kara doesn't sleep in her room. She's crying, she's screaming, she's terrified of being put in timeout in her room. She says that this lady with black hair is coming to get her. And I'm like, telling my boyfriend, I'm like, Richie, you don't understand. Like, I was having a nightmare about that girl. And he's like, okay, so you've talked about it enough in front of the kids that this is what's happening. And trying to find some logical explanation for it. I'm waking up every single night at 3 a.m. to somebody banging on the door, to them like shaking the door. There were a couple of nights where I was like, well, what am I going to do? I have to get up and go check on Kara. And on those nights that it was banging on my door, I would basically just run terrified down the hallway to Kara's room and check on her, and she would always be sound asleep. I didn't see anything in the hallway, didn't hear anybody, nothing. So I'm just losing sleep like crazy. I'm terrified. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Well, one night we're asleep. Barry is fine. She was sleeping with us like half the time. because she was just terrified to sleep in her room. So one night she's in her own room and 3 o'clock in the morning hits and the banging on our door is so loud that it does wake him up. And he's like, what the fuck is that? What are we going to do? And I'm like, we have to go get Bear. So we both, my boyfriend's a big guy. He's like 6'3", 2 something. And my boyfriend and I both are like running down the hallway, all terrified to go and check on her. And she's sound asleep. We're like, this is so strange. Then it starts happening during the day. I would go to work and he said that he would hear cabinets opening and closing, banging on the walls. It sounded like people were running through the house and he was home alone. I was like, cool, I'm so done with this. How are we going to cleanse the house? Besides sage and like Palo Santo and crystals, because that was not cutting it. So apparently they have a cleansing by fire thing that they do in Hungary. And it involves like a tiny bit of rubbing alcohol, you guys, like just enough to light the salt. So when I tell you this story, don't be like, well, obviously you lit rubbing alcohol on fire. Yes, but you get a pan and you lay a ton of salt in it and you put just enough rubbing alcohol in the salt for it to light. And then you walk around the house and you do this whole clockwise deal thing. More or less like a prayer in Hungarian. Now, I obviously don't speak Hungarian, but we were like, okay, we're going to try this. So I got home one day and I was getting home around like 4 o'clock while I was teaching. And I was like, you know what? It is the middle of the day. I am a grown ass woman. I am just going to light this stuff on fire and cleanse the house. And we're going to be done with it because this is ridiculous. I have to be psyching myself up. So I go around the house. I start in the master bedroom, go around through the living room. Everything's great. Spend a lot of time in Kara's room where she's having these nightmares, doing all of these things. And the fire starts to kick up right in the hallway, like in the middle of the hallway, right by the bathroom that is outside of that playroom. And even though it's been burning steady and fine, it starts to kick up. So I'm like, okay, it's the AC or something. The vents weren't on. It wasn't that. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to keep going. I get outside of that bedroom door and all of a sudden that fire kicked up so badly that it burned my hand. I drop everything on the floor. I have this mess. I have burning salt on the ground. It's a huge disaster. Trying to get this fire out. And I kid you not, I felt like I heard a laugh. And I was like, wow, great, Taylor, you are creeping yourself out. So I wait and I tell a couple of friends and I'm like, you guys, I know this sounds crazy, but I think my house is haunted because of X, Y, and Z. And this is when they all choose to tell me, oh yeah, I did not tell them I thought it was a lady. I did not tell them about the black hair. I did not tell them about any of that. I just said, I know it sounds crazy. There's something in my house and I need somebody here. And then they come forward with the, well, we've always felt something in your house, blah, 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 blah. We just don't want to say anything because, you know, why would we say that? We're all adults here. And I was like, awesome. So they come over. My boyfriend comes home. We try it again. And even though it didn't kick off the time that I did it, we go through the whole house. We get to that room and it starts setting the fire alarms off. Thankfully, there were more than one of us, so I was able to take the batteries out, turn the fire alarm off, and the boys decided to, like, keep pushing into that bedroom, and one of us was recording. In that bedroom, which should have been the brightest room in the house because it had the windows facing the street lights, other house lights, the direction of the house, like, the moon and everything, like, it should have been the brightest room in the whole house, and it was not. It was so dark. We're going through it. The fire is kicking up. It's burning his hand. The whole thing, he said, was getting ridiculously hot. And all of a sudden, all of the salt is turning like charcoal black. All of it. It's still burning. It's still burning. And as we're pushing into this room, there's a corner. And I have a video from this night that I don't know where to upload it for you guys. I know I can't upload it here on Spotify, Anchor, or whatever. I bet I can upload it on my Instagram, so I will do that. But there is a video of us pushing into this room, and you can see the flames going crazy, and you can see this corner getting darker and darker and darker, even though we are moving the flame closer and closer to it, and the shadow gets thicker and thicker, and all of the smoke in this pot is turning a thick black, And finally, after a couple minutes in there, where the lights kick off, all this stuff, it starts to go away. So we're all a little shaken up. We're like, this was crazy, right? And things calm down. We go a couple of days, nothing's happening. I'm like, wow, that cleansing ritual really worked. This is great. Whatever, life is good. We have a couple of normal weeks. And one night, my boyfriend brings me flowers home. He brings me fresh roses, right? I set them on the kitchen island, on a kitchen counter, close to where our master bedroom is. That's where they're going to stay. We have a night where I think everything is normal. We've gotten rid of the mirror. We've cleansed the house. And that night, there was banging on our bedroom door. It was shaking the whole door. Kara was in her room screaming, but not leaving her room. And this all just kicked up at once, exactly at 3 a.m. Right at 3 a.m., somebody's banging and shaking on our door. Kara's screaming in her bedroom. It sounded like somebody was like dragging hands down one of our walls. Our TV kicked off, like just absolute chaos. And so we run, we get Kara. Everything seems to stop. Like all of a sudden, Kara stops crying. We stop crying. I was crying. My friend wasn't crying. He was just like, what the fuck? But I was crying. Kara was crying and everything just stops. Needless to say, we didn't have a great night's sleep. We finally get up the next morning and those brand new flowers are completely withered. Completely. Like as dry as they are when people press flowers in books or put them in like bookmarks or, I don't know, make potpourri or whatever. Old lady stuff is what I picture. But they're dry and they're brittle and they're completely falling apart on my counter in less than 12 hours. And it looks like there is a giant black handprint on our wall. So I'm like, nope, not doing this. We're calling a priest. We're calling your dad to do some Hungarian, whatever. We're going, we're getting protection charms. We're doing all the things. So that is what we spent that whole day doing. And while he was out doing all of that, I saw the neighbors outside and I was like, hey, you know, I was just wondering what were the people that lived here before us like? And they're like, oh, well, it was two adults. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like a husband and a wife. And they're like, no, two women. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, whatever. And they're like, no, not like that. Not like a couple. It was a mother and a daughter. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that makes sense. Because when we moved in, there was like a child's room with like a chalkboard wall and tons of like writing all over it. What I thought were scribbles, which I should have been paying closer attention. And they're like, what? They didn't have kids. And I was like, oh no. And they're like, no, it was a mother and a daughter. Like the mother was in her like 60s or 70s and the daughter was in her like 30s or 40s. And I was like, really? How long did they live there? And they're like, they actually rented that house out for 7 years. They used to be super nice. We used to see them all the time. And I was like, what do you mean used to? And they're like, yeah, we don't really know. There was a weird shift. They like let all of the trees get overgrown. They let them grow over the fence line. They let weeds grow that tall. They never came out of the house. They kept all the windows shut. And I was like, what do you mean they never came out of the house? Like, and they're like, no, they worked from home. They kept the blinds shut. I mean, they were cool for like the first year and then they just kind of disappeared. I was like, oh, okay. They were like, they were really kind of weird. The only time we ever heard them come outside was like in the middle of the night. And they'd sit around in the backyard. I don't know what they were doing. It kind of sounded like they would like chant. And I was like, what? Okay. Again, being a spiritual person, like maybe they were meditating. Maybe they were doing their own thing. But given everything else that started happening in the house, I was like, really? They were like, yeah. And then they ended up getting evicted. I was like, oh, they did. So they didn't part on good terms. And they were like, oh, no. They got evicted. They trashed the house. I'm like, okay, maybe that's where like the scribbles on the wall and stuff came from. Maybe they were just being dicks and marking up the place. And they're like, yeah, they said they were like cursing out the owners and the property managers about whoever lives here next is gonna have a terrible time. Da 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 da. And I would think that that could just be like people being disgruntled that they're getting kicked out. Like, oh, the next person that lives here is going to hate it because you guys are kicking us out because you guys are dicks, something along those lines. But the more that I started to piece that together, like that's the only explanation that I could think of is that they laid that intent or a spell or a curse or something on the house. Because even my toddler was like, this woman does not want us here. She says it's her house. Now, I don't know if it was a spirit that lived there before. I don't know. I find that hard to believe because they said that they rented it for 7 years. You guys stayed there for 7 years when that kind of shit was happening? Because listen, we didn't even fulfill our year-long lease there, actually. We had this whole thing. Wow. This is why I edit, you guys, but no more. We had some blessed objects. We had a priest come. We had his dad salt cleanse. He had to spend the most time in that bedroom. All of the salt was completely burned again, but it seemed to work. We got charms. We went to a Chinese shop and did a bunch of like blessed feng shui crystal ball things with the red cord that you have to measure to exactly 9 inches and all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you, we tried everything. I hope that whoever lives in that house now, we hung garlic on like the lamp that was outside of our bedroom. And I hope that whoever lives there now has since found that, because we definitely did that. I'm telling you, we did everything in the book that we possibly could. And we did not fulfill our lease. We actually left as soon as we could. We paid rent in two places to get out of that house because it started to feel better, but it never felt the same. Now we have some friends and know some people that live on that street. And for the longest time after moving into our new house, when we go over there, that house sat vacant. And I was like, that's so strange. Like, it's priced way under market. I think that rent there was like $1,200 with some stuff included. And that's pretty much impossible. I think pretty much anywhere you go now, I'm from Colorado and you definitely can't find that there. Not for a house, not for hardly anything, maybe a room in a house. In Texas, everything was a lot cheaper, but it wasn't that cheap. And here in Arizona now that everybody is coming here, like that's pretty unheard of. So it was priced way under. And they said that they were giving a lot of showings and everybody would leave. And a couple of people that they did get to talk to, you know, while they were outside and stuff, like, hey, do you like the house? Blah, blah, blah. Do you guys think you like it? Are you moving in? They'd be like, no, something's just off. Something's just weird. And a couple of months after we had moved out, we were on that street again, visiting friends, and we drove by it. And my daughter, who was only three and a half at the time, so we'd been out of it for almost a year, which would have made her 2 and a half when we left that house, starts crying hysterically. I mean, kicking, screaming. She's like, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go in that house. I don't want to go back. She's like, that lady was in there. The black haired lady was there. She was trying to tell us to leave. She was trying to kick us out. She hated us. And I was like, we're not going back. We're not going back. And she was like, I hate it there. I hate it there. Please never take me back there. She's going to kill us. And I was like, great, free. Okay. So I had asked her and I was like, Kara, what's wrong? Like, why would you say that? And she's like, Bagul lives there. Bagul lives there. Bajul. Bajul. And I was like, what? What are you saying? Which I thought was incredibly strange. So I got home and I told my boyfriend about it. And I was like, isn't that so weird? And he's like, what kind of a name is Bajul? And I was like, I don't know. So I was asking her and I was like a boogeyman? Like, what are you saying? And she's like, no. I was like, and she's like, Bajul. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. My boyfriend was like, it's not even a name. If you were to look that up, you wouldn't even find anything. I was like, yeah, you're right, I wouldn't. And something was just sitting in my stomach about it. And I was like, Bajul, why is that such a name? Like, who would think of that name? I can't think of any show that she would see that off of. We don't know anybody with that name. Like, I don't know, it just wasn't sitting right with me. So I went to Google it and I did find a result for Bajul or Bagul or whatever. And the only thing that I could find about it was that when you Google Bajul or Bagul or whatever, it's a fictional character that comes up in the British American horror film Sinister. I love horror movies, you guys, and I've never even watched Sinister. I've never watched it because something about that picture, and I'm telling you, like, I love horror movies. I love the Conjuring universe. I love the Insidious movies. I think they are so good. And something about Sinister has always just like put me off. My boyfriend would never ever watch scary movies, I don't think, if it weren't for me. Like, he's just totally indifferent to them, does not dig them. So this is not a movie that we have watched in the house. Her 15-year-old babysitter, absolutely not into it. And I did ask, and I was like, hey, like, I'm not upset about, did you watch Sinister? And she was like, oh no. And I was like, are you sure? Because Kara was talking about it the other day, and she's like, about Sinister? I was like, yeah. And she's like, who watched that with her? No. She's like, you know, I don't like scary movies. I didn't do that. I was like, okay. I'm asking my mom, I'm like, hey, have you ever watched Sinister? And she's like, I've never seen it. What is it? Like, would I like it? And I'm like, no, it's a scary movie. It has this character in it. Like, have you watched it? And she's like, no, is it good? Should I watch it? Like, no, Kara was talking about it the other day. And she's like, okay, so you watched it. And I was like, no, I've never seen that movie. My boyfriend has never seen that movie. But anyway, it is a black-haired demon, apparently, that feeds on children. That's what he does. I'm looking it up for you guys right now. The ghoul is an obscure pagan deity that feeds on children, serving as the main antagonist of the film Sinister. He would manipulate the lives of children, have them kill their families, and then consume the child's soul. So, yeah, that's pretty much where we left that. Because when you look up the history and pagan lore and all of this, it says that yes, the demon Bagul is real. It's one of the true demons. One of the true demons that the Bagul seems to draw its terrifying features from is Lilith. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. It still comes up once in a while. I don't know. I feel like there may be an explanation for her knowing that name, but I can't think of any because, I mean, honestly, that's such an obscure name for a 3-year-old. And people left that house vacant for 7 months before somebody snagged it, which in this economy, wow, I sound old, but in this economy, to find such an underpriced rental. And again, the foundation of the house was good. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath corner lot with a ginormous yard. It just, I don't know, for it to sit vacant for that long is insane. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with that. I think that the really, really terrifying thing for me, aside from like my kiddo screaming in the middle of the night like somebody was going to murder her, which is absolutely terrifying for any parent, was when we woke up that day and there was a black handprint on our door, which took, I went through 2 magic erasers to get that sucker off. Checking all, of course, logical things like there's nobody in our attic. Trust me, we checked. I did have somebody live in an attic in a rental one time, and that was terrifying. So maybe I'll tell you guys that story sometime. But, you know, nobody was in our attic. Nobody was in our garage, obviously. All of the doors and windows were locked from the inside. Just those illogical things that you have to go through. And there was no explanation. I had moved out and really didn't think about that house in general for a really long time until that day that we drove past it and Kara started talking about Bagul, Bajul, Bagul, whatever. I don't know. It seems like a very strange coincidence for it to start bothering her and for her to describe that, like those physical features in such detail. In her, well, she was telling me it was a lady and I was saying it was a lady, but I never, like in my mind's eye and in my dreams, I never pictured her in like a dress or anything. I just saw like the really long black hair and assumed it was a lady. So I don't know. I don't know. My houses are usually pretty active in terms of like activity like that. Just because with my daughter and I both channeling and communicating, I mean, stuff comes through, but like it's like ancestors, you know, like we bless our house often. I cleanse it, I sage it. I'm not new to the protection game. So for that one to be the way that it was just insane. I think about it, I mean, not often now that we've left, but just, I wonder if they cursed it. I wonder if they summoned something. I wonder if inadvertently my daughter invited something in because she is still learning. I wonder if it's because she was a child and maybe this was, I don't know. I'm sorry, now I have hiccups and I should definitely edit that out. I wonder if she called something or if that's why it showed up. I don't know. So I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on it and what you think happened. And have you, I'm sorry, have you ever lived in a haunted house? Do you have stories? Have you ever experienced something similar to this? I want to know. I'm so sorry. I think it's a super interesting topic. I still get terrified when I talk about it. I have chills right now. I think it was the scariest couple of months. And I think it's definitely what totally like blew my boyfriend open to all of this. Like, it wasn't just rocks and crystals and tarot cards all of a sudden. He was like, I've never not believed, but there something was happening. And neither of us can pinpoint what it is. So do you think it was Bajul? Do you think it was a demon? Do you think it was a curse? What do you guys think? I would love to hear about it. I'm going to hop off for time's sake and also so you guys don't have to listen to me hiccup anymore. I would love to hear your guys' comments. Leave reviews. Connect with me on Instagram. Connect with me via email. If you guys want to come on the show, you have a story, or you are interested in a tarot reading or in spiritual health and wellness coaching, let me know and I will see you guys next time.